Thank you.
We want Trump. We want Trump. That's what everybody's saying in the audience. I don't think I hear that back home. Everybody's screaming right now.
So yesterday, Trump, good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. We'll get there in a minute. Just hold on. Yesterday, Trump was calling the Holyfield fight. And yesterday I was talking about, you know, a lot of former presidents, current presidents, politicians don't generally get chance of we love you, we love Trump. They don't usually get that, right? And I mean, Joe Biden, he was elected. You know, he's the commander in chief. He's the big cheese. He's the big guy, right? Right? To quote Hunter Biden, right? So there's lots going on, and it's very, very interesting what's happening here. Who knows? Who knows? But Donald Trump is getting chants, and Joe Biden is getting jeered. Like, there are random chants of, like, we don't like F Joe Biden breaking out at places across the country as well. It's so weird, right? So weird. He was the most, got the most votes in history, right? Blew Trump out of the water. Unbelievable, right? Don't forget to sign up for the mailing list. You can sign up for the mailing list at candidatereport.co on the sidebar here. Also, we're doing the kitchen table talk today, so that's at 12:30. We'll be talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. I'll have the waiting room on. I'll have the waiting room on today because that's important, because I need to filter who can come in and come out, because some trolls like to get in and then they make noise and blah, blah, blah. So there'll be a waiting room, but that's okay. Just click on this link and it'll take you to the place where you can sign up. You can also do that on candidatepoly.com. This one for the mailing list and this link here for the kitchen table talk. And don't forget to check out the forums. There's discussion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's the Trump thingamajigger. Okay. Before, I was talking about Nazi Germany and the similarities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here is a 3-minute little thing from Jordan Peterson. It's a Jordan Peterson clip. And he says, here's what happened in Nazi Germany. And he's introducing the idea or discussing the idea that disgust is what drives the segregation of society. And the Nazis, this whole clip is talking about what the Nazis did with regards to health edicts and health orders and removal of tuberculosis and all sorts of health segregation. And ultimately, it culminates in just this little kind of phrase at the end. So here's just a little bit. If you're interested in this idea, this is how you get people to divide. You don't tell them that, you know, those people are wrong and they're so wrong they deserve to be segregated. No. You tell them that those people are diseased, and the diseased people, in order to keep you safe, need to be segregated, right? And so then you get, you know, it's really unfortunate. We don't want to do this, but we have to do this in order to keep you segregated, in order to keep you safe, right? Here's Jordan Peterson just explaining the last little bit of it. Hold on.
Possessed by anxiety. That's the speech of someone who's possessed by...
Sorry, the clip is out of order. Hold on. Okay, I'll just play this from the top. Here we go.
When Hitler came to power, he was very interested in public health campaigns. And so he formulated a number of policies, including formulating these vans that went around screening people for tuberculosis. And at the same time, he announced a policy to beautify and purify Germany. And so he encouraged the factory owners to clean up the factories, to get rid of the rats and the insects, and to plant flowers and so forth in front, right? So it was cleanliness and beauty. They used Zyklon B as the agent for disinfecting the factories. Zyklon B was the gas that was used in the gas chambers. So Hitler started out by getting rid of the rats and the parasites and the insects in Germany, along with his public health campaign. And then he moved into the insane asylums and started a euthanasia campaign. And then he moved outside into the broader political sphere and started to target the people that he didn't consider pure as parasites, capitalizing on the behavioral immune system and people's intrinsic sense of disgust. And so I'm going to show you some of the propaganda that did that, so that you know how this sort of thing works. Okay, so this is from Richard Konigsberg, who wrote a book.
So I hope that makes sense to you. Instead of, he started by getting rid of the parasites and the rats, and he started beautifying, and he started saying, this is for your health, we have to do this for your health, started screening for tuberculosis, and started exterminating the unwanted from society, right? This is for your health, we have to do this. It's a small step, and it's a small step from the last thing, and it's explained away, only temporary, just for a little while. Right? Just a little bit until everybody's gone. And then, you know, but it's disgust that drives this. Okay. Disgust that's being driven. That's important. I'm going to show you about Jody Wilson-Raybould and Justin Trudeau, and then we'll get into the election. So the fact, this is Charlie Angus, NDP Charlie Angus, okay, running for House of Commons. The fact that Justin Trudeau as Prime Minister would try to force the Attorney General of Canada to lie over interference in a corporate corruption case is a staggering indictment. For the first time, Jody Wilson-Raybould says publicly what everyone in Canada knew. And here is Justin Trudeau responding to Jody Wilson-Raybould saying that he wanted her to lie. And he says,
I did not want her to lie.
Okay, hold on. That was queued up perfectly. Here we go. We'll get the whole thing. Here we go.
In Jody Wilson-Raybould's new book, she describes you becoming angry and disdainful about a PMO campaign, a pressure campaign to interfere in a criminal prosecution. She also says she believes that you wanted her to lie. So the question is, did you want her to lie, and why did you get so angry?
I did not want her to lie. I would never do that. I would never ask her that. That is simply not true.
Right, case closed, guys. Let's go home. Oh, hold on, there's more.
These issues that were brought up have been talked about over the past couple of years now. Studied out in committee, the Globe and others have written on them extensively. They were fully looked at before the last election. But it does make me reflect on the fact that as you do big things, as you work hard for Canadians, over the years, you end up carrying a number of things.
It does. This is a time for us to all learn from my shortcomings, says Justin Trudeau. Right, you know, you've learned to carry a number of things. Do you, Justin? Do you? Well, I mean, when you were asked about the truth of this, way back in, 2019? Is this 2019? February 7th, this was the Globe and Mail. Is the story in the Globe true? And he says, no, it's not true. And then we found out it was true, right? Here's Justin Trudeau bending the truth to meet his needs. There's another word for that. I'm not sure what, mying? I can't remember. Whatever. Here's Justin.
Did you or anyone in your office pressure the former Attorney General to abandon the prosecution of SNC-Lavalin?
The allegations in the Globe story this morning are false. Neither the current nor the previous Attorney General was ever directed by me or by anyone in my office to take a decision in this matter.
Did you or...
Right, so... The story in the Globe is false. And Jody Wilson-Raybould is not telling the truth. And of course, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said the Globe and Mail story that broke the SNC-Lavalin scandal was false, which, as we know now, was not true. And here is Justin Trudeau talking about groping that reporter that one time, way back in the day, and saying, explaining how, you know, people can experience things differently. Here we go.
That I acted inappropriately in any way. But I respect the fact that someone else might have experienced that differently. And this is part of the reflections that we have to go through.
I respect that she may have been uncomfortable with my forwardness, etc. She may have experienced that differently. Here is Cesar Chavanez. And this is, I mean, Justin Trudeau thinks that all you have to do is say that story is false and then that's dealt with, right? But that's not how this works, okay? Here is Selena Cesar Chavanez and her interview about her book, detailing just like how much of how she experienced Justin Trudeau's leadership. Here you go.
I was no longer going to be running in the 2019 election. And what I had thought naively was that I was going to get the prime minister saying, you know, Selena, I value your contribution. I hope that you'd run again. I didn't get any of that. What I got was, you know, Selena, I can't have you make this announcement today because Jody Wilson-Raybould resigned today and I can't have two powerful women of color leave. He went on to talk about his privilege and how people keep talking about his privilege. He went on to say that I should appreciate him. I should appreciate what he's done for me in the time that I've been in government as if I didn't work hard. And at the end of it, you know, at the end of his rant, I said, you know, motherfucker, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? You know, if he had spoken to any member of my constituency, any 130,000 member of Whitby that way, I would have had said the exact same thing, and I'd likely do it again.
Okay. Okay. But I mean, that's a hell of a thing to say to the Prime Minister of the country, right?
Well, it's not just a hell of a thing to say to the Prime Minister. When the Prime Minister is speaking to me like a child, like someone that he happens to own within his government, what am I supposed to say? Am I still supposed to be polite in that context? I don't think so.
Well, let me ask you.
Very interesting allegations and discussions about what happened before the 2019 election, why these women didn't run again for Justin Trudeau during that time, right? Wild. Absolutely wild. Maybe they just experienced it differently, right? This is Justin Trudeau. After listening to what he does to anybody who disagrees with him, Pundit Class, I'll read you the tweet because I think it's worthwhile. Pundit Class says, Trudeau says we must listen to each other and learn from each other and to not affix labels. And in the next breath, he brands people who oppose vaccine passports as anti-vaxxer, brands them as hateful and intolerant and calls on people to stand up to them. So in one hand, he's saying we have to be tolerant. All of us smart people, right? And those anti-vaxxers, if they don't understand that they have to join all of us smart people, we have to exclude them. It's incredible. I don't know at exactly which point the time index this turns, 40 seconds. So there's a point in this minute where this turns into a different speech altogether. Here we go.
We know that the only way to move forward as a country is to move forward together and to listen to each other and to learn from each other, not to affix labels, not to allow hate to fester in corners of our society. And yes, we are seeing vocal hatred and intolerance rising in some pockets of our communities. And the question that all the rest of us have to ask is, what do we do? Do we sit back and say, oh, let's leave them space for their anti-vax beliefs, for their misogynistic beliefs, because we don't want to ruffle the boat, rock the boat, or ruffle feathers? Or do we stand up? Do we say, no, not in Canada. Not in our Canada. We leave room for everyone, and we stand up for each other in Canada. That's what we've done over these past 6 years. That's what we will continue to do.
We stand up for everyone, except those anti-vaxxers, those misogynists. Misogynists? Really? I mean, like, what part of being an anti-vaxxer makes you misogynistic? Misogynistic still means like hatred towards women, right? Like they haven't redefined that word to somehow include vaccines. Isn't it interesting though that he talks about inclusive, you know, we've got to be inclusive and we've got to respect everybody except those people who have a question about that experimental vaccine we're going to put into them and then remove their jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if they don't comply, right? Here is more Justin Trudeau talking about in one speech, he says we have to be inclusive and respectful and blah, 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 blah. In the same speech, he targets the anti-vaxxers and labels them as the other, right? In this speech, he goes even further to say, you know, I'm not going to apologize. Here we go.
Trying to bring people together is not always compatible with science, with respect for human rights, with the best way to move things forward. I mean, when Erin O'Toole talks about, oh yes, we need to unite people, we need to bring people together, he's talking about defending the rights of people who are anti-vax, to endanger my kids and endanger us all of future lockdowns and risk all of us having a slower recovery. If you make a choice, a personal choice.
Couple questions. How is somebody who is not vaccinated, a danger to somebody who is vaccinated? The vaccinated person can spread it and presumably they're protected. The person, like, they're protected from bad outcomes, more protected than the unvaccinated person. How are we doing worse now, markedly worse now, when we have 80% vaccinated than we were doing last year when we had 0% vaccinated? That's not the fault of the anti-vaxxers. We have a very, very high vaccination rate. 100% vaccination rate is not a realistic vaccination rate for a government to target. This is unbelievably irresponsible. Vilifying people who are saying, like, I don't want to be excluded from society, but medically I have concerns, right? When I was a kid, I got the measles vaccine. And from that vaccine, I got the measles. I had an adverse event. So there are things that are out there that make people, outside of whatever this COVID vaccine is, hesitant for other vaccines, right? We went to visit my grandmother that day, and on the way back, I remember laying down in the car and I was like shivering and I couldn't get warm. And this was like a summer day type deal. So anyway, regardless, I had German measles and it was bad. Like it was the doctor came to the house. It was very, very bad. And I lost like a bunch of weight. Like I couldn't eat two cheeseburgers. My parents went to get me a Happy Meal when I was starting to feel better. And I couldn't even get through like one cheeseburger because I'd been so like my immune system was tanked so badly during that week. And like I couldn't eat, I couldn't hold any food down. So I just lost so much everything, strength, et cetera. But vilifying people who have, legitimate concerns are allergic to the ingredients in the vaccine or who are, have been injured by the vaccine, right? Like, and there are injuries from the vaccine. People who are concerned about this are being pushed off to the side as conspiracy kooks. And by the prime minister, is that acceptable during an election campaign? I can't imagine how this is going to play well. 25% of people, and these people vote. These people are engaged people. But like out of the 100% of the population, 25% of the population is at least aware and does not want this, whatever this is, the vaccine. And so vilifying that group of people, well, and using disgust, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Don't you think? This is the same clip. And AGL Yahoo says, at that time when he admits it's a social credit system and not about health. Yeah, very scary stuff. Very scary stuff coming from the prime minister. I'm not interested in living in communist, Nazi communist Canada. Thanks, right? Like really. Christina says, 90-minute wait right now for one of the polls at Niagara Polling Station at 1:30 p.m. Advanced polling, this is unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable what's going on. Unbelievable. I'm shocked. My jaw's on the floor. That it's being mismanaged. I think it's being purposely mismanaged this way, just like I think the debates were purposely mismanaged. This is Candace Malcolm, and she does a good job with True North, I think, anyway. And she was talking about the debate, and I honestly, I couldn't watch it. I really did try. I was put it on during dishes, and I was like, this is so petty and, like, little. Like, anyway, these guys did a good job. These guys did a good job at giving you post-debate reflection, and I'll show you some of it. I think this is worthwhile to pay attention to. I'll play about a minute. Here we go.
See the typical activism in the journalism. So instead of asking sort of open-ended questions, allowing the leaders to debate the issue, we had journalists going up there acting like activists, acting like politicians themselves, trying to push their own niche issues rather than talking about the issues that matter to Canadians. So here's a couple of examples of what that looked like last night.
Said in 2019 that Canadians should never have to make the, and these are your words, impossible choice between paying for medications or putting food on the table. We have seen you, particularly in these recent months, willing to spend billions of dollars on programs that matter to your government. Daycare would be another example of that. Why is there no money in your platform or in your most recent budget for a national pharmacare program? Is it no longer a priority? And should you not just tell Canadians that, sir?
For millions of voters, this is the climate change election.
Mr. O'Toole, my question.
I thought that was 2015 and 2019, the climate change election. Anyway, the number of women moderators, the number of activist moderators, not by chance, right? I like condescending Wonka. I thought he was funny. A good meme, man. Get me every time. Success Kid? Yeah, man. I remember the original picture on Reddit. Anyway, so tell me how you're strategically voting against the Liberals by voting for another party with the identical Liberal platform. Yeah. Oh, you mean the Conservatives are going to do pretty much everything the Liberals have done? Uh-huh. Yep. I'm telling you, if the PPC gets 155 and the Conservative Party somehow gets like 122 and, you know, like, and somehow, some way, Max Bernier becomes the Prime Minister, I will be happy. My jaw will be on the floor. I won't know what happened, but I would be happy. Look at this. We talked about the protesters, and Max Bernier is drawing big crowds of supporters, big crowds of people willing to disrupt as well. And this guy here, the guy in green's got his dog and he's disrupting Max's speech. And Max, what a pro. Honestly, nothing but respect. So Justin Trudeau demonizes his protesters and doesn't come off the bus. Now, granted, there's a lot more protesters for Justin Trudeau, right? There's a whole lot more Canadians who are ticked off at Justin Trudeau. So there's a lot of people showing up. They're chanting. They're saying, come on out, Justin. We'd love to chat with you, right? And they just want to tell him, like, F you. Fine, right? Free speech. They're allowed to do that. Wonderful. This guy is just trying to disrupt with his dog. And Max comes over and intervenes and then gives him a minute to speak. Now, he's just trying to rank, like, to draw up the crowd. But this is what I expect our politicians to do. This is what Canada is about, right? And so, good job, Max. Well done. Bravo. Here we go.
Okay. Did you have something to say?
Do you want to
say some freedom? Okay. Do you have something to say? Come here. Okay, guys. Come here.
Go.
Want to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Shh. Listen. We are respecting everybody. That person want to speak, and I want to do a deal with him. He will speak to you for 3 minutes, and you can will be able to listen what he has to say. 3 minutes, and after that, you'll let us alone, and I will go on with my speech. Do you agree with that? So tell us, what do you want to? You have a timer? Okay. Fucking hypocrite. Thank you very much, Max. Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
It worked. And sorry, I just wanted to skip his little speech because his little speech was stupid. It looked like to me he was a little, maybe agent provocateur. Somebody come in there just to disrupt, and Max's response kind of tripped him up a little bit. But well done. That's the kind of stuff I like to see. Max was not guaranteed that was going to go the way he wanted it to go, but he gave it a shot to defuse the situation. And like, that's well done, man. Honestly, well done. Talk about genuine, talk about human. I like that kind of stuff. Honestly, I appreciate it more than a 30-minute well put together speech that hits all the right notes. Like, something like that shows me how human peacemaker someone is, right? Like, and that's what the kind of stuff that I want to get into with seeing leaders in podcast situations. You know what's funny? I don't know what the numbers are. I know yesterday Max had 17,000 with his discussion with Viva Fry and Lauren Chen after the debate that was happening at the same time as the debate. I think they streamed it afterwards. I'm in the middle of listening to that. I thought that was way more compelling. I couldn't listen to the debate. I thought it was, you know what I thought about it. The discussion between Fry and Max and Lauren Chen was good. Now, the problem with that is it's not as diverse an audience, right? It's potentially a green person is not going to listen to that group of people discuss the policies that they see important, but they may watch the debate and be turned by Max's policies or whatever. I understand the difference. I get it. But I think that having that option would be interesting. But I wonder what the viewers are, debate versus the Lauren Chen, Viva Fry, Maxime Bernier discussion. I'm going to have to find that out. I'm going to find out if I can find the numbers for the debate. It's probably like in the millions for the debate, right? Because it's cross Canada. So it probably does. It's apples to potatoes, really. Yeah. Because you've got broadcast and then you've got the online and blah. Like, the online may look weak, but the broadcast is going to be stronger regardless. Anyway, here is Maxime Bernier again, being endorsed and given a ceremonial blanket by First Nations. Chief Bruno tells Mr. Bernier's message, tells Andrew Lawton that Bernier's message of freedom resonates with him and First Nations. So Chief Calvin Bruno of, I'm going to not do that justice, so I will skip it, presents Mr. Bernier with a ceremonial blanket. And we will watch this again.
And the blanket represents health and wellness and good intentions towards Mr. Bernier. When we give a blanket, that's what it symbolizes. That's what it represents. So I want to thank you. Aye, aye.
and that also represents honor. And we honor you in your position and the authority that you have as a leader of the PPC party. And I wanted to extend as a Minister of Aboriginal Ministries of Canada, Joshua chapter 1, everywhere that your foot has been placed upon, God is with you. Do not fear. He has called you for this position.
So, I mean, all of this looks great, right? All of this looks wonderful. I'm hopeful that we get a good result. I'm hopeful that we get, if we get a bunch of seats, that'd be wonderful, right? 155. That'd be great. That'd be a good second election showing, don't you think? Wonderful. 12 to 15 seats would be great too. 4 or 5, I'd be fine with that. Boast, I'd be fine with that too. Here is a girl. This is a little dramatic. So I'm not going to play it, but she says that Baljeet Bawa is not on the ballot in his riding. I don't know what's going on with that. I can't confirm that yet, but that's interesting. That's not so good. Here is a Twitter astroturfing campaign intensifies as Canada's election day draws near. Yeah, people have been complaining about my show not being able to go out, etc. Yesterday, I couldn't stream. My internet connection died every time I tried to start my live stream. And the uploads took half an hour longer than normal, all of them, except library. Library took normal, but normal. Library was able to upload in a shorter amount of time. It wasn't half an hour, but I have a gigabyte connection. So that's weird, right? Don't you think? I think that was weird. And the only way to fix it would have been to like restart my computer. So I restarted my computer. But yeah, the botnets, very interesting. I thought this one was good because it's got a bit of a case study and it's quick. So this is how the botnets are influencing the election in Canada. This guy says the Russian botnets did the same thing. From what I understand from the reports that were done, there was less than $100,000 spent on Russian botnets. And I don't know that that would do that much damage. I don't know that that would do that much influencing. These things do cost money, and they're kind of sophisticated. There's a lot of accounts in play, right? There's a lot of things happening. Anyway, two hashtags started trending on Twitter as the leaders' debate wound down on Friday night in Canada, Liberal Surge and Liberal Purge. I analyzed the spread of those two hashtags using the Observatory on Social Media, OSOME, tool set. I found neither the hashtag in support of Prime Minister Trudeau nor the one rooting for his main opponent to be organic. Both hashtags were being signal boosted by users who linked to so-called followback parties, a technique that enables users to rapidly gain mutual followers. It's easy to spot accounts that indulge in followback parties as a number of users who follow them is roughly equal to the number of users that they follow. I used the tool, Hoaxies tool, to look at the diffusion networks to look at each of the hashtags. As the creators of the tool explained, diffusion networks display how claims spread from person to person. Each node is a Twitter account, and two nodes are connected if a link to a story is passed between the two accounts via retweets, replies, quotes, or mentions. Here's the diffusion network for the Liberal Surge. And it says the scale goes from red to blue, where the red indicates users that demonstrate bot-like behavior, while blue indicates human-like behavior, with the larger circles indicating more popular accounts. There's clear big red circles that signal boosting Liberal Surge. So there's, you see the reds are boosting accounts and bots, right? And the same is happening with the Liberal Purge, same characteristics. And so it's very interesting. And it says the big yellow circle is user Mr. Stash, whose following ratio is 1-to-1. So there's bots and there's bot networks. The yellow is bot networks with the 1-to-1 follow, like follow parties and stuff. It's really interesting. I mean, the macro data stuff, I've been blocked by this guy. Thought that was interesting, especially because he's part of this party. So he's likely a paid account, likely a purchased account. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. Aaron O'Toole says, if you don't like, or Maxime Bernier says, if you don't like Aaron O'Toole's position on something, just wait a few minutes. And that's quoting Robin Urbach from the Globe and Mail, which is pretty funny, right? That's pretty funny, I thought. and true, accurate, right? Big swing for the Liberals. I told you it was going to be a whole new race. It was going to be a whole new race after Labor Day, and here we are, right? Big swing in favor of Trudeau Liberals. Nanos Knightley tracking 34.4 for the Liberals, 30.1 for the Conservatives, 19 for the NDP, 6.4 for the Bloc, and 5 for the People's Party, 4.6 for the Greens. Three nights ending September 10th. Sure. Do you believe that? Holy smokeronis, eh? Trudeau is just Teflon, right? Rubbing off the dirt. No problems, right? Just bash the shoes together, dirt falls right off. Another advisory lifted. Adam Vaughn is celebrating his water advisory, boil advisory lifted. This project took longer because the need to build an access road, two problems solved, more to do, more to come. 24-year bottle boil water advisory. 24 years? It took them 24 years to build an access road? And this guy's celebrating that? Wow. Right? Only in liberal land. Like, let's pat ourselves on the back, guys. This was a hard-fought road. Man, do you know it took 24 years to build a road? Yeah. Wow. Right? Just impressive. That liberal. Like, is that money from Catherine McKenna's infrastructure plan, or is that outside money? Like, different money. Alberta Oil Sands campus won't get ballot boxes on election day because of COVID-19 protocols. There are thousands of Alberta workers in these camps. Unreal. So, very interesting. Is this another example of a way to manipulate the outcome of an election? You weren't allowed to travel. This didn't really fit anywhere, but it kind of fits in the middle. So moving on from the election into COVID and vax passports and protests. You weren't allowed to travel due to the pandemic. Canada is on track, however, to meet its goal of 401,000 new permanent residents this year. Do you get it yet? Do you know why Japan doesn't have a housing crisis and all the other Western countries do? Because when you remove supply of the entry-level housing, like when you decimate the supply of it, the current inventory becomes more expensive, right? And so instead of charging 800 for a two-bedroom apartment, you can charge 1800, right? And more, right? Depending on where you are and what amenities you offer as well. It's incredible. It's incredible. And the federal government doesn't listen to the province or the municipalities, which have to pay for the services for all of these people. The federal government looks at it from a macro sense in that, they don't have to spend the money to grow these citizens. These are tax-paying, working, voting citizens, right? They come in and that 400,000, those 400,000 can bring dependents and things too, right? I think that they can bring like minor dependents and potentially a partner, like a wife or a husband, without a new visa. But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on that. I have seen families trying to like reconcile and blah blah blah. So the immigration details are not my forte. But fundamentally, the bad policies of the federal government, which are looking at one set of numbers to justify it, don't jibe with the reality of the municipality and provincial government, which needs to provide services like healthcare. So what do? They lock us in our homes to make sure the hospitals aren't overwhelmed by the influx of people until something happens and there's no more people, I guess, and the healthcare system works again. Is there a path for that? Here's a video of a nurse, and they're firing her because she did not get the jab, but they don't want to give her paperwork that outlines why she was fired. She came into work. She said, I'm on the schedule. And they said, well, like, you don't work here. And she said, okay, well then give me my termination papers. And they called security instead. So that's, I mean, like, all of this seems strange. Doesn't it seem strange to you? It seems odd to me, right? Is there a way to stop this runaway train? I don't know, man. I don't even think we're pumping the brakes yet, are we? Seems like, well, I'll tell you in a minute, the vax passport is being stopped in the UK, but I think this is the waves of fear. Waves of fear to drive vaccine uptake, right? What's better than one imminent threat of a vaccine passport? Two imminent threats of a vaccine passport, right? That'll drive double the people to uptake the vax. Here is a video of a hospital. This is a Holocaust survivor. This is in the same vein as what I was talking about earlier. I'll play this one. This one's interesting. I found it compelling, the similarities and differences she talks about. Here we go.
So as a child survivor of the Nazi reign of terror, I learned indelible lessons about the nature of evil. I know the consequences of being stigmatized and demonized as a spreader of disease. My perspective is informed by my experience, by the historical record and by the empirical evidence. We were required, as Germans know, to wear a yellow Star of David to identify us, to segregate Jews. Exclusionary laws barred the family from normal life, from attending ordinary activities. Our property was impounded. We were forbidden to participate in all educational, religious, cultural gatherings. Travel was forbidden for Jews, so there was no escape. These painful memories from my childhood sensitized me to the threat posed by current restrictive government dictates. You know, in 1776, Benjamin Rush, a doctor and signer of the Declaration of Independence, foresaw the danger of medicine organizing as what he called an undercover dictatorship. Under the Nazi regime, moral norms were systematically obliterated. The medical profession and institutions were radically transformed. Academic science, the military, industry, and clinical medicine were tightly interwoven, as they are now. The Nazi system destroyed a social conscience in the name of public health. Violations against individuals and classes of human beings were institutionalized. Eugenics-driven public health policies replaced the physician's focus. So as a child...
Eugenics is transhumanism. It's the same thing. Watch Amazing Polly about that. She talks about transhumanism and eugenics and how there's similarities. I think she did a deep dive with the same people, or the sons and daughters of the same people are still in the same field now working on transhumanism stuff. It goes really deep, right? Roy Green Show, using the scare porn, he says, not trying to persuade you of anything, just doing what many have already have done, sharing story video about by an ICU nurse, video posted by an ICU nurse, a nurse's viral video of beeping ICU alarms persuaded unvaccinated people to get the shot. We scared people into taking the shot. Bullshit. Absolute garbage. What trash. Like, I said, it's propaganda bullshit, Roy. And he blocked me for this. I said, if the vaccine works, why doesn't it work? Have you seen a push like this for any illness in our history for a 99.7 recovery rate? Stop pushing the propaganda and start asking questions. This article is shit and you know it. Yeah, so classy dude. Regardless of me, I don't care about me being blocked. That's it. That's neither here nor there. It's just yucky when people are like, well, other people have done it, so I guess I'll try and scare people into having the vaccine too. Not even understanding the monstrous garbage they're falling into. Like, it just feels like people aren't questioning anything, and they should be. An upstate New York hospital said it will pause the delivery of babies in 2 weeks because of a spate of resignations by maternity unit workers who are objecting to COVID-19 vaccination mandates. The date for jab or job is not passed yet in Ontario. And there's been videos saying that there's going to be a lot of healthcare workers who are leaving their jobs, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what that means, but why would we let our public health destroy our public health through public health orders? It doesn't mean, or it doesn't make much sense to me. It seems like a crazy thing to allow them to do. Like, in order to keep you safe, we have to fire all these nurses who've been working fine for the last 18 months unvaccinated. But now that we've mandated the jab, they have to take it, or they can't continue to work. Like, it doesn't make rational sense to me. These people are behaving in ways that, I mean, well, you can't fight logic with illogic, or you can't fight illogic with logic, right? So perhaps that's what's going on. But at the same time, at some point we have to stand up and say no, right? At some point we have to say, you're not allowed to destroy our system. We pay taxes for this. Like, and also you can't blame people randomly for the failures of the vaccine. Like, were people locked down if penicillin didn't work? Like, prior to penicillin, were people like, oh, you know, we don't have any penicillin. If you get a headache, that could kill you, man. Sorry. Like, so no, like, you're not going outside. Everybody's stay locked down and get your helmet. The sky could fall any minute, right? Like, That's not what happened, right? And what we're doing now is not responsible. It's destroying our economy. It's destroying ourselves. We're destroying ourselves. Hospital management. We need to become more scary to the public by inflating the number of COVID patients by using messaging that falsely tell individuals, if you're getting vaccinated, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. Are you paying attention? Yeah, it says this. It says this in the video. Do you want to hear it? Okay, well, I'll listen to it for a minute.
The dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths. And the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out, as far as we don't get into details of floor. Or
right. My feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public. Then there's another comment that I completely agree. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
How do we include those healthy post people in the numbers to scare people? How do we do that? Do you know how to do that? No? It's statistics. It's this statistical trick. It's difficult to say it's a statistical trick. Okay, as someone who's just gone through COVID-19, says Robert Peterson, or Peston, excuse me, I wonder how rare I am to have contracted it as a double vaxxed person. According to new data from the government's, this is UK, vaccine surveillance report, in the age group 49 to 79, the overwhelming majority of those infections have been double vaxxed, see attached. I was surprised by what looks like a high prevalence among the double vaxxed, and according to leading scientists, at least part of the explanation is that the vaccine efficacy is not as good as we would like for the Delta variant. Well, isn't that strange? So in the 18, in up to the 30 to 39 levels, so the top three bars, the rates among person vaccinated with two doses is lower than rates among person not vaccinated. But then as soon as you hit 40 to 49, the rates flip, and the rates are consistently higher for the vaccinated, the double vaccinated, than they are for the unvaccinated. So that's, I mean, what do you make of that? I don't know, right? What's the explanation? Is the vaccine helping? How do you reason, right? I don't know. This I thought was an interesting little thread here. The other day, says ER doc, a colleague went on a rant about an anti-vax, anti-mask people. I said, what do those terms mean? None of us were born with a mask on our face, and we certainly have a right to ask questions about it, or decide a medical invention, or decline a medical intervention. These terms have been invented to divide. What was your colleague's response? A blank stare. Wow, right? That's what's happening in our, well, people are being dehumanized to the point of you get sorted by your vaccine status first. Maxime Bernier says, the vaccine can spread the virus too. The only rational but unrealistic way to prevent its spread would be to deploy rapid testing everywhere instead of a useless vaccine passport. What government wants is to control us, not control the spread of the vaccine. And Max clarifies, and I'm actually going to go find the tweet. Hold on. Bernier clarifies in this tweet. He says, of course, rapid tests are themselves flawed and useless, so even that solution would not work. What's the solution? What I've been saying for over a year, protect the most vulnerable and let the rest of the population live normal lives while taking basic precautions. Yeah, yep. Europe this weekend, 150,000 protested in the Netherlands, 121,000 protested in France, 15,000 protested in Greece, 5,000 protested in Lithuania, 2,000 protested in Austria, 1,500 protested in Switzerland, protests in 120 Italian cities. Nothing about this on the news. Yeah. Yep. Same here. Here is COVID vaccine passports scrapped for winter by Boris Johnson. People are skeptical. They say it's only temporary. I'm skeptical. This woman's skeptical. She articulates my skepticism much better than I could ever hope to dream to articulate it. So quick video with my thoughts on the vax passport announcement. Don't be fooled. They're parked, not scrapped. Okay, here we go.
I can't quite believe what I'm seeing and reading this morning. So many people like ecstatic and happy because the vaccine passports are going and being scrapped. Because Has anybody else been here the last 1.5 years and listening to corrupt, lying politicians? Because I seem to remember them saying 3 weeks to flatten the curve, lockdown to save Christmas, lockdown to save Easter, 15 million jabs to freedom, just jabbing the vulnerable. Remember, they were never thinking about vaccine passports or jabbing children. Does anybody else remember that? See, I'll believe it when I see it, because this seems to me like another psychological tactic to lull us into a false sense of security. Because at the end of the day, last year, Eat Out to Help Out had only just finished. We're not even to the cold flu season yet. So what's going to happen then when the cases and the deaths goes up? How are we going to get out of lockdown then? Oh, do the vaccine passports have to come back then? Looks like it to me. So you know what? I ain't cheering yet and I ain't celebrating. It's not happening. I will. I've been an advocate for this. I've been campaigning. When it happens, if we get through the winter and we return to normal, I'll be celebrating then.
I agree. It is one of those things where I've been once bitten, twice shy, and it's like, 18 months to flatten the curve, guys. One jab, two jabs, three jabs to freedom, right? Four jabs free. Yay! I was told that drug dealers would get you hooked for free, and then all of a sudden it would start costing money. And then all of a sudden, right, you're unemployed and you've got a long, you know, grizzly beard and you're under the tracks or down living in a van down by the river. That's it. Great Wolf Lodge is discriminating against people based on their private medical information. Now, it's very interesting. They won't accept pre-booking with your vax passport, your vax proof. They won't take your vax proof. They will check your vehicle. They'll do a vehicle check-in. So somebody, you call them and they come out and check your vax status and they let you into the building. And they don't take any kind of record of anything, nothing, period. So very interesting. They don't want liability. They don't want that information. They're not interested in that information. They don't want that information on their servers, period. Isn't that interesting, right? So in concert with the provincial government and the chief medical health officer, Great Wolf Lodge will require guests to be fully vaccinated and provide proof of their vaccination status to access the lodge starting September 22nd. All information will be kept confidential in alignment with provincial guidelines. Indoor masking requirements remain in place. Guests are required to present their COVID-19 vaccine receipt along with government-issued photo ID in order to enter Great Wolf Lodge. These documents must be presented when entering the establishment. They cannot be pre-displayed in advance of entering. To help you make your future Great Wolf Lodge plans with confidence, we have temporarily instituted a free cancellation or change program. This allows you to cancel or change your reservation with no fees or penalties. Huh, right? Very interesting. The businesses don't want this information. The government's forcing them and they're finding ways around it. I hope this doesn't end well. People are not happy, they don't want this. I hope this doesn't end well in that, like, I don't want violence, that's the last thing I want. But I hope that the government has to back down and can't go forward with this because people are saying no. Here's France, people saying no. This is a protest in France. All the shops are full of tear gas. Right, tear gas. Isn't that wild? This is France. Paris. Right, beautiful Paris. With the, you know, just put on your gas mask, honey. We're going for a walk. Massive protests in Montreal. I said the other day it seems like Les Mis, right? But I forgot to play the song as well, but oh well. Here's Montreal. Last year, I talked about the government procuring tear gas canisters and other riot protection gear, and we thought, Canadians don't do that. That's what I said anyway, Canadians don't do that. They get angry and they write mean letters and stuff, right? But the government has pushed us to a point where the life that we knew is illegal now. If you're not double jabbed, you are a third-rate citizen, second class, right? There's a lot wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with what's happened. There's a lot wrong with what's happened to our country. There's a lot wrong with what's happening to our country. And I hope people see it. I hope people see it before it's too late to stop it. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingMoistly.co. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.